This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. Members of the academic group American Studies Association have voted to boycott Israeli academic institutions. It's to protest Israeli human rights violations against Palestinians. Basically, the boycott means members of the association will not collaborate with Israeli schools, but they can work with Israeli scholars. To say this boycott is controversial might be a bit of an understatement. As with any issue dealing with Israel and Palestine, people have very strong opinions. Joining us now is a member of the American Studies Association, Anna Pegler-Gordon. She is an associate professor at Michigan State University. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I want to talk about the logic just for a second. So how will refusing to work with Israeli schools accomplish establishing a dialogue about the human rights violations against Palestinians?
I think it's a symbolic move. There is no enforcement mechanism. There is a recognition that some individuals in the American Studies Association and in Israeli institutions are involved in a dialogue around Israel's occupation of Palestine, but my understanding is really that the purpose of the boycott is not to facilitate that dialogue, but in fact is simply sort of symbolically to protest it by instituting a boycott.
I think a lot of the academics involved in this discussion are saying, well, why Israel? There are many countries which violate human rights of others, and why now? I mean, this is a struggle that's been going on for more than a half a century.
I personally agree. I don't believe that Israel should be singled out in this way. I feel that, you know, it's inappropriate to single Israel out, especially when there are many more academic freedoms for many more people in both Israel and Palestine than there are in many other countries.
Of course, the point of Israeli attacks sometimes shut down Palestinian schools. And so forth. I mean, do you see the point of the supporters of this boycott?
A lot of supporters argue that because Palestinian academic freedoms are violated, therefore it's a good idea to limit Israeli and American academic freedom a little bit because Palestinians' academic freedoms are violated extensively. I disagree with that logic. I think that there are many more creative ways to protest Israel's occupation of Palestine and the violation of Palestinians' academic freedoms than an academic and cultural boycott. But the argument that some scholars make in support of this is that there's an asymmetry between how Palestinians' academic freedoms are violated, which is, I would agree, much more extensive than the impact this will have on Israeli scholars and American scholars.
You oppose the boycott, but you're part of the American Studies Association and the Association for Asian American Studies. Both of those groups are boycotting. How will you encourage them to end it, and how will they know when to lift the boycott?
There was no discussion at the American Studies Association annual meeting about the potential of lifting the boycott. I think this shows that it is really a symbolic move rather than a practical boycott. And frankly, I plan to travel to Israel, and if I receive funding from an organization that's supported by the Israeli government, I plan to continue to travel to Israel. I teach American studies and Asian American studies, but as part of my practice, I also teach about global issues in citizenship and immigration, and those issues are very relevant to Israel and to Palestine. So there is financial support for scholars to travel to learn more about issues of citizenship, immigration, race, and identity in Israel and in Palestine. And I plan to take advantage of those opportunities, and I don't believe that I will face any repercussions for that because this is an advisory boycott.
The point is, some members like you will be ignoring the boycott. I'm just wondering if there's some kind of sanction from either of these academic groups that you can expect, or is that the end of it?
There is no sanction mechanism in the boycott. This is partly what I don't, although it is called an academic and cultural boycott, it isn't really a boycott. It's a statement against the Israeli occupation of Palestine. But a boycott has to have some kind of sanction mechanism, and this doesn't have a sanction mechanism. I think it's called a boycott to make it sound more controversial, to get more attention for the boycott movement. But I think if it were a real boycott with real sanction mechanisms, it wouldn't have passed the American Studies Association.
We've been speaking with Anna Pegler-Gordon. She's an associate professor at Michigan State University and a member of the American Studies Association, as well as the Association for Asian American Studies. Both groups have passed boycotts against Israeli schools to protest Israeli human rights violations against Palestinians. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, the University of Michigan's president and chief academic officers have condemned the moves to boycott Israeli universities. U of M President Mary Sue Coleman and Provost Martha Pollack say in a statement that, quote, academic boycotts violate the principles of academic freedom and freedom of speech, which are fundamental to our missions of education and research, end quote. They say, again, the university is committed to continuing and strengthening its ties with Israeli universities.